This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in three things with Cassie Crandall.
Thank you, Freddie. Hi, it's Cassie, and I'm back with my three things. In South Florida, there's a group called the Wisdom Warriors. The Wisdom Warrior Challenge trains seniors to compete in track and field events in 19 communities, most of which are in South Florida and North Carolina. It was started by a physical therapist who believes in keeping people active. They have members starting at age 55 and up to 102 years old, but most of the seniors participating are in their 70s. They do 5Ks, but they also do shorter track and field events. What a great idea and motivation to keep active and stay young. That's a really healthy thing to do. The Wisdom Warrior Challenge out of Jupiter, Florida. Great story. My thing number two this week is, we're leading up to St. Patrick's Day. In just a week, beer will be turning green and rivers turning green and all sorts of shenanigans going on. Do you have any plans or do you stay home and play it safe? Well, if you want to have plans, there are all sorts of things to do in Minnesota around St. Patrick's Day. Of course, there's the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade in St. Paul. There's also a St. Patrick's Day Bash that evening happening at the Wabasha Street Caves. And around the state, there are different events. There's a parade in New Ulm. There are some events going on the whole weekend in Stillwater. And Spicer, there is a Red Beard Run and Walk. So if you have a red beard, or I guess if you find one and put one on, you can be in the Red Beard Run. That's in Spicer. In Excelsior, on the 18th, there's the annual 5K and 1 mile race alongside family-friendly entertainment with Irish dancers, a magic show, and a popular local band. All sorts of things going on for St. Patrick's Day. Get your green on. And last but not least, my thing number three, I have a quote from actor and athlete Dwayne Johnson. Success isn't always about greatness. It's about consistency. Consistent hard work leads to success. Greatness will come. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. For New Beginnings, I'm Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week. Hi again, everyone, and thanks so much for listening to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is the AARP Minnesota State Director, Kathy McClear. She's here to talk about Lobby Day, and I've got to tell you, I've been in this business for some time, Kathy, and I've never heard of Lobby Day. What is that?
Well, hi, Freddie, and thanks for having me again. So many of your listeners, I'm sure, are very familiar with AARP. We are the nation's largest nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. And our mission is really to empower people to live as they choose how they live as they age. One way we do that is through our advocacy and making sure that we are representing the views of our members. We also like to get people involved in the advocacy work that we do. And the way we do that is by inviting people to the Capitol, asking them to go visit their lawmakers, those elected officials that we put into office, through our election process, and go visit them at the Capitol and talk about the issues that matter most.
Well, do you have to register for this particular event, Kathy?
We do want people to register. We've got a kind of a briefing session that happens in the morning, and then we all walk over to the Capitol Rotunda for a rally a bit later in the day, and then let folks go roam the halls of the Capitol looking for their lawmakers. But we do want folks to register. And of course, they can find all of that information at aarp.org/MN.
All right. So the basics, when is Lobby Day?
Sure. It is Tuesday, March 21st from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll start with a light breakfast and we'll talk about some of our key issues. And one of that, you know, the primary issue that we're going to be asking folks to address with their lawmakers on March 21st is paid family and medical leave. This is moving through the legislative session, as we speak. I think there were some hearings possibly this week. But really on March 21st is the day that we want folks to call their legislator. We want folks to come join us at the Capitol and tell their lawmakers why paid family and medical leave is so important to them.
All right. Now, on the other side, I just have to ask, because the way you positioned it, there are some employers who are saying that they're already strapped. They can't find great employees. And this particular bill could pose a hardship for them. What do you say about that?
You know, we have more than 500,000 unpaid family caregivers in Minnesota right now, and they are providing that care to the tune of $10 billion. And what happens is when someone is having to make that choice between coming to work and caring for their loved one, that's strapping them financially. And also, if folks don't have access to that paid leave, they may be dropping out of the workforce. They may be taking time off or taking a leave of absence anyway. And providing paid family medical leave will help retain employees. It will make businesses more competitive to compete with organizations that already have a paid leave program in place.
All right. So tell us one more time how we can register for Lobby Day supported by AARP.
Sure. It's Tuesday, March 21st from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you can get more information on this issue as well as register for Lobby Day at aarp.org/MN.
She's Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. We're talking about Lobby Day. That is on March 21st from 8 until 3. And this is New Beginnings. So glad you're with us, and it's time right now for It Happened This Week. Back in 1865, Congress created the Freedmen's Bureau to help free blacks of the South. In 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes took the oath of office as the 19th President of the United States in a private ceremony. A public swearing-in took place 2 days later. In 1885, the Indian Appropriations Act was passed by Congress. It made all American Indian wars of the federal government and nullified all previous treaties with Native Americans. In 1931, the Star Spangled Banner officially became the national anthem of the United States. Francis Scott Key wrote the song during the War of 1812. In 1966, actor William Frawley died at the age of 79. He is best remembered for his role as Fred Mertz on the classic television show, say it with me, I Love Lucy. In 1991, motorist Rodney King was beaten by Los Angeles police officers following a high-speed chase. The entire scene was captured on home video, sparking a nationwide outrage. In 1993, Dr. Albert Sabin, the medical pioneer who helped conquer polio, died at his home of heart failure at the age of 86. And in 1998, television Hall of Famer and former CBS president Fred Friendly died at the age of 82. And finally, in 2004, at the company's annual shareholders meeting in Philadelphia, more than 40% of Disney shareholders voted against re-electing Disney chief Michael Eisner to the board of directors. Former Senator George Mitchell was elevated to the position of chairman of the board. Eisner was allowed to continue to serve as the company's chief executive officer. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to your financial health in retirement. And with us is Leibel Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Authenticity and also the book Living with Financial Anxiety. We really had a robust conversation the last time we were together, and you talked about not running out of money. So in that vein, Leibel, what would be the best advice that you could give right off the top to give someone trying to make the most of their money in retirement savings? Where would you start?
So I'm going to say two things that kind of sound contradictory, but I think as we talk through them, it will make more sense. I'm putting that disclaimer out up front. Now, the way that you want to think about this, right, what is the best piece of advice I can give you is that retirement planning, right, financial planning, proper financial planning is doing calculus, right? When everyone else is playing checkers, you need to be playing chess. And when most people come to me and they want my help reviewing their financial plan, reviewing their retirement plan, they are often making a single decision. They're looking at things from the context of one number, right? So let's take Social Security planning, right? People say, when's the best age that I should file for Social Security? And they'll look at it from the context of, okay, what gets me the biggest check? But that isn't the question you should be asking. What you should be asking is, what is going to get me the lifestyle I want? What will allow me to retire sooner? What will make sure that I don't outlive my assets? And oftentimes, when you put those questions first and you try to answer those questions and you say, okay, Social Security is one tool at my disposal. My retirement savings is another tool at my disposal. When you look at it from that context, the answer changes dramatically. And what looked to be the best decision before may actually be the worst decision possible. And so my best piece of advice is you need to look at things holistically, right? Don't take them out of context. Even though it feels, you know, it's the easy thing to do and it's very overwhelming to try to, you know, figure out these moving pieces, you have to look at all these moving pieces together. And, you know, the only way that I'm able to do that is because I've developed a framework and a process for doing that. And I apply that to every decision that I do. But you have to do that, because if you don't have a way of making these decisions and understanding how they affect you today, tomorrow, and long into the future, then you are guaranteed to make the wrong decision.
We're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and I just want to amplify in what you're talking about, what you just mentioned, framework. So for those folks who are listening right now, and they're just starting thinking about retirement planning, and maybe some are late in doing that, what's the framework? What does that look like? What do you suggest that we use?
So when I think about retirement planning, the truth is, when I think about finances in general, right, I look at it kind of from a I look at it as a cycle. And the cycle that I see is, first and foremost, right, we need to make sure that our essentials are protected. And by essentials, I mean we need to have a roof over our head. We need to have food on the table. We need to have enough money in the bank and enough of our bases covered that we are not worried about money, that we are not having financial anxiety. And I talk about this in my book, Living with Financial Anxiety, because I firmly believe that the reason why so many people make bad financial decisions is because they are setting themselves up for failure. It's because you're trying to make, you know, long-term decisions when your body, when your mind doesn't know whether you're going to have food on the table tomorrow. So until we have financial security, until we know that our safety is taken care of, our financial safety is set for, we can't start thinking about, you know, what investment is best, what tax strategy is best. None of that matters, right? So financial security is number one. Once we have our financial security, and that looks different for everyone, and even within a couple, right? Me and my wife, we have very different definitions of what financial security looks like and feels like, and we have to balance those needs. But until we both feel secure, we can't move on to the next step because we won't be able to make rational decisions. And then the next step is, okay, let's figure out how to maximize the resources that we have, right? And the low-hanging fruit when we're talking about, okay, where can we get some more money into our pockets? It's taxes, right? How can we save money on taxes, right? Every penny that we have to pay to taxes, every penny that we incur a tax liability for, that's money out of our pocket. And it doesn't take a lot of work to figure out how to shift our income or shift our tax liability so that we are being more tax efficient and putting more money back in our pocket, right? It's a decision that, you know, I look at on a regular basis. Everything that I do, I look at the decision of how can I do this in a way that is more tax efficient? Can I pay for this expense in a way that, you know, it's not coming out of my earned income, it's coming out as a business expense? By the way, that's a really great reason why you want to have a business, is so that you can have business expenses. You know, there are lots of ways to use expenses and to figure out how to pay for things in a way that's tax efficient, whether that's a health savings account, right, or an HSA or a 529 plan or a Coverdell savings account. There are all kinds of ways of doing things, right? It could even be buying, you know, going to Costco, right, and buying wholesale, right? That's another way to save money, but you want to save money on taxes. That's number one, right? Because every penny you save on taxes is a penny back in your pocket.
Right.
Number two, once we save money on our taxes, now we need to figure out how to grow our money. Because if our money is just sitting in the bank, it is decreasing in value, right? We know inflation is a real thing. We know that a dollar today is not going to be worth a dollar tomorrow. We're not going to be able to buy the same stuff. So we need our money to grow. Not only that, but if we have the ability to make money while we're asleep, why wouldn't we do that, right? Now, keep in mind, the reason why most people don't do that is because they don't have financial security yet, right? And so they're worried about their car breaking down. They're worried about how they're going to pay for their next meal. They're living paycheck to paycheck, which is perfectly fine, right? We've all been there. We've all done that. But we need to make sure that once we have financial security, that we take ourselves out of that mindset of hoarding our cash and figuring out how to make it work for us, how to make it grow, how to make it grow in a way that doesn't keep us up at night. And then finally, we have to look at our income and say, okay, where are we getting our income from? How can we get it in a tax efficient way? When we retire, how are we generating that income and our savings, and how are we paying for our expenses, right? Because that is going to be the biggest question in retirement, and it's going to be the biggest variable that will determine our success or failure. And then finally, hopefully, we'll have some money left over after that long journey that we can leave on and give and create a living legacy for future generations. And so when I make financial decisions, I look at it from this context. I look at it from this framework of, you know, financial security, tax minimization, right? Investments, income, savings, and then estate planning. And looking at it from that context and that order, what ends up happening, it becomes a cycle. Because as you go through it each time, right, you're going to make more and more money and your needs are going to change. As you earn more money, as your savings grow, your estate planning needs are going to change and your income needs are going to change. And the amount of money that you spend is going to change, right? And so this is a continual process that you have to constantly go through, and it needs to be a habit that you do, that is just part of who you are and how you make decisions. And this is something that, you know, I teach about, I talk about on my website, right? This is what I help investors do, is create this decision-making process.
Boy, what a process, and it's a great framework. So I like to talk about people in terms of, I give them a name, Johnny Lunchbucket. So Johnny Lunchbucket is listening to you right now. He says, okay, Leibel, I've got the framework idea, but I'm trying to figure out how to invest my 401k. I'm trying to figure out how to downsize my house or not. How can I make that framework that you just outlined work for me?
So I'm going to give you the real brief high level overview, but then I'm going to tell you, go read my book. Go read Living with Financial Anxiety, because I walk through step by step, you know, what is the decision-making process? And then how do you, you know, as you go through the different stages in life, how do you evaluate those decisions? Because like I said, this is something that's ever growing, ever evolving. And some of it is knowledge, right? We have to have the base knowledge of this is how the financial world works. And these are the options available to me. You know, when I was growing up and when I first came into finance, I didn't know half of what I know today. I knew less than half of what I know today. And if I knew what I knew today, you know, 20 years ago, my life would be very different. And so my book, Living with Financial Anxiety, is really me, you know, it's a love letter to my younger self of, you know, these are the things that you need to know. These are the things that they don't teach you in school. These are the ways of making a financial decision. And so when we go from the context, and you know what, I'm just going to read straight from the book what that decision making is, right?
Okay.
And here's what I have written in there, right? I have the plan, and it says, question number one, does this bring me closer to my goals, right? So when you're looking at your 401k and your investments, right, you need to ask yourself the question, does this bring me closer to my goals, right? And if you're just looking at a spreadsheet and a list of funds to invest in and they all look like gibberish to you, right, well, then you don't have anything to make a decision based on, right? It's no different than throwing darts at a dartboard, right? So you need to go get yourself an education or get someone who knows and can tell you, well, this is how you look at this decision. And then you can say, okay, well, this, you know, fund A is going to get me closer to what I want than fund B. Fund A is one that I can live with. Fund B is not one that I can live with, right? So question number one, does this bring me closer to my goals? What is my downside if I choose this? What is my downside if I don't choose this? What is my potential upside? Now, that's a tricky question, right? Because when you're looking at that list of what should I invest in, you probably don't have a good idea of what the potential upside is. But me as a financial professional, I can tell you that every single thing in your 401k list of those investment options, they all have different potential upsides. They all have differing contexts and uses. And if you can't properly answer that question, then you're just guessing, right? It's no different than going up to the gas pump and then choosing at random some, you know, which level of gas to put in, right? If you put in diesel, your car is probably not going to work. But if you put in the difference between, you know, regular and, you know, the premium, it won't really make a difference probably to your car, but it will make a difference to your wallet. So you need to know, right, does this gas fit my car? And does it make a difference putting in premium versus regular, right? What is that potential upside? What's the probability of success? Does this decision need to be made now? Oftentimes we focus on things that do not matter in the moment. Is the risk reward worthwhile? And finally, does this endanger my financial freedom? That is the biggest question, right? Does this push me backwards? If this went wrong, will this upset my ability to enjoy my life, right? That financial security we talked about, because you really got to answer that question every single time.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about, Leibel, and there are a lot of people scribbling really quickly, but you can go to yields4u.com. That's yields, the number four, the letter U.com, and find all of this information and more. Leibel, thank you for taking us to school today and giving us a framework from which we can work to really take control of our financial future. And I invite all of you to join us next week as we talk about Social Security and a new approach to retirement planning based on the new Secure 2.0 Act. You might be able to retire sooner than you think. Leibel's website is yields4u. That's yields4u.com. Yields, the number four, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Thanks so much for listening this week. And did you know that today is Johnny Appleseed Day? Yes, we remember a man who made apple and pear trees bloom across the nation. The day celebrates a kindly legend who lived by sage teachings and labored to bring the shade of fruit trees across much of the United States. He was born John Chapman on September 26, 1774. His father served as a Minuteman and fought at Bunker Hill. Then in 1797, Chapman showed up in northwestern Pennsylvania, propagating his apple seeds. He became known as Johnny Appleseed and worked his way as far west as Illinois and Iowa and as far north as Michigan and Wisconsin. In his wake, he left orchards and the teachings of Emanuel Swedenborg, a Swedish spiritual leader. Appleseed would buy his books and whatever payment he might have received for his endeavors. In turn, Johnny would give the books away as he traveled and planted. Mostly, though, he planted his seeds and seedlings for free, along with his wisdom, his broad-brimmed pasteboard hat, keeping the sun from his eyes as he went. Often shoeless, he traveled mostly by foot and sometimes by horseback or canoe. Today we celebrate Johnny Appleseed. We'll be right back.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining us now is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to learn more about the fine work of Joe McKenzie and his team, you can go to rippleconnects.com or even call at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, hello there and welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And where are we going this week?
Well, we want to continue with our series on your book, Words to the Wise. And, you know, what I like to do is take in some of your words and ruminate on it for a couple of weeks. And how does it apply to my career? And this week, your wise words or your dreams are more valuable than money. And that really hit home with me because in the last 3 years, I've achieved one of my dreams, and that is to be a leader in the nonprofit industry in Minnesota here. And I can tell you that the dreams that I had to get there, the process, the journey, once I achieved that, that couldn't replace any kind of anything else but just being in that position and being a chance to feel valuable with my transferable skills and mostly how my transferable skills and my leadership can impact others. And that was a longstanding dream that I had. But for Freddie Bell, when you wrote the words, your dreams are more valuable than money, what did you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joe. We can end the program today because you expertly outlined the essence of what I'm talking about, in that your dreams are more valuable than money. And I'm thinking that I'm pretty confident that anybody listening today has done something purely just for the money. And I'm thinking at some point in your life, your motivation to do a job was to get that extra money. And money can help us in a lot of areas, but is it as good as the fulfillment that you get when you achieve your dreams? Now, for me, when it comes to decisions in my life, what would you rather be chasing, the money or your dreams? I think, in my opinion, dreams are what fuels us. And a lot of people still believe that money buys you happiness, but it's just a temporary situation. Now, sure, sometimes it can. You can receive a sense of freedom. You can get temporary happiness whenever you buy something new, like a new phone or a laptop or clothes. But now for a second, Joe McKenzie, I invite you and our listeners this morning or today to, for a second, just forget about the money. And I also invite you to think about the dreams. Think about the light on a person's face when they achieve their goals. When somebody finally gets to attend their dream college, I can remember the excitement when my daughter got her acceptance letter to KU, or maybe getting hired for their dream job. You mentioned that earlier. The whole other side of life that you didn't know existed because you were blinded by money is because you're seeing dreams realized. And if you ever feel stuck and you don't know what to do next, when life feels meaningless, it's quite possible that it has something to do with money. You know, we see a lot of stuff online. We see people telling you on social media about how great their lives are. Everyone seems like they're living such a great life, winning in the game of life. But most of the time, you automatically presume that it's because of the money they have. But when you look closer, you see that the photos are only about a tenth of 1% of somebody's life. And these photos are picked specifically to show off the best part of somebody's life. And I'm going to tell you that that's more often than not incorrect. So I've got some thoughts about money, Joe McKenzie. And the first thought is that money can be taken away in a heartbeat, the blink of an eye, and it's gone. And there are so many ways you can lose money. You can be robbed. You can get sued. You can gamble it all the way. You can just simply lose it. There are infinite ways you can lose money, whereas dreams can't be lost. Even when you believe, when nobody believes in you, let's go that way. As long as it is truly what you want, nothing can take away that dream from you. You're always going to keep moving after others rip you apart. As long as you're still there, you've got that dream and you have the ability to progress. Now, I'll just let that ruminate for a second, Joe. So no one, in my opinion, can rob your dream, but money can be taken away in a split second, a lot of times without you even knowing about it. I had Enron stock. I worked for that company years ago, and we were always purchasing and getting stock, Joe McKenzie. One day, I looked at the account, and it said that my account was worth a dollar each stock. And I thought, I didn't think too much about it. It said a dollar. You know what? You know, that's just, it's not true, because I know how much it's worth. Mm-hmm. And then over time, I started reading the news, and I'm finding out that the company was going belly up, and that all the stock that I'd had in the years that I worked there was absolutely worthless. So my retirement, my savings, everything was gone, and I didn't even know that it was leaving, Joe McKenzie.
It was taken from you.
Yes. But the only
thing— Without realizing that.
Right, but then I had the only thing I had left were my dreams. And so when you accomplish your dreams, you can still go bigger. You're proud when you achieve something that you never thought you were able to do. People who do things for money are often sad. Their goal is to earn money, and then that's the problem. Once you reach your dream, there's always something bigger that you can chase. You can even go as far as to help others who want to achieve their dreams. Dreams have a definite stop, although you can keep going, there is a line, and once you cross it, you've officially completed the goal, whereas money, it seems as if you can never have enough. But I think money is just a byproduct of a wonderful dream. Not the money, it's the dream. So when you finally achieve your dream on a big enough scale, you're going to realize that you just created more value than dollars or cents could ever do, Joe McKenzie.
That makes complete sense to me. It resonates with me. And in my career, I haven't always been, you know, in a position to command high salaries. But the fact of the matter is, one of my dreams was to help people with their careers and seeing, you know, many people achieve their dreams, or myself when I got that opportunity to be a leader in the Minnesota nonprofit sector. That, like you said earlier, it kind of opened up whole other sections of my life that just became more vibrant to me. And you're right. You can't put a price on that. You can't even put a monetary amount on it, because it overcomes you with great joy that you've achieved, but you also start seeing other opportunities out there. So what you said about now you've opened up a bigger part of your life to see that once you have those dreams and you can achieve them.
Absolutely. There's some wise person, I can't remember his name, but I still remember the words. He said, open your mind and see what's inside. And a lot of people have unrealized dreams because they stop themselves. I mean, losing all that money and all that stock in Enron didn't stop me from dreaming. But I believe that dreams can give you a lot more in return than money ever could. I mean, sure, you can go to Disneyland 500 times, but the best experience are those that you can't buy, the ones that are perfect and the ones that it's difficult to explain because it's an experience. I can't tell you what it feels like when you can help somebody along their way, when you can help somebody to achieve their goals. That's more value to me than about anything that I can imagine, Joe McKenzie.
Yeah, I can appreciate that too. And you just think about your own legacy of how you've helped others, how you've helped an organization that, you know, move forward to help others. That legacy won't be taken away. That is your legacy, that because of your dreams, a big part of that will stand the test of time, and that can't be taken away. And so, you know, we look at it that way. You know, that person you helped, that organization you helped, because they're doing better, they can't take that away.
Exactly.
And that's how I, you know, when I'm listening to you, that's what comes to mind in my mind when you detail it that way.
I'll leave this because we're just about out of time. Think about this. Chasing money is never going to be as rewarding as chasing your dreams. Joe McKenzie, we'll leave it there. You do some fine work, sir, at Ripple Connects, and even when you're talking about words of the wise.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders. Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you, sir. And this is New Beginnings. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings, while the film Cocaine Bear is doing pretty well in theaters, industry experts think it'll be a bigger hit when it comes to streaming services. Cocaine Bear is popular enough that a sequel is already in works. It'll be called Meth Gator. A man in Japan was taken to the hospital with a fish hook in his intestines after eating a hamburger from a convenience store. The man complained of stomach pains after eating the burger, which his mother had bought from the nearby store. When he checked the bag in which the burger came, the man found a fish hook. He decided he better go to the hospital, and sure enough, x-rays found another hook in his small intestines. Here are four things you probably didn't know. It's time to upgrade your IQ. Number one, Jimmy Carter was the first president to install White House solar panels. Ronald Reagan removed them. Number two, for some reason, researchers have determined that cats across the United States yawn a collective 545 million times a day. Number three, in the United States, each year, 4,600 people go to the emergency room for a snowblower injury. And number four, according to a survey conducted by the National Sleep Foundation, of those people who snore, 19% snore so loudly that they can be heard through a closed door. Four things you didn't know. And how many guys can you date at once? A recent survey asked women, how many people can you date at the same time? Two seems like a lot to juggle, but 11% of women can date three or more. 55% said only one. 34% said two. 11% said three or more. And researchers from the University of British Columbia found that perfectionists may struggle in marriage and other intimate relationships. The early months and years of a marriage may be the hardest for a perfectionist as both the bride and the groom adjust to each other and the life they are creating together. And for as long as we can remember, we've known that McDonald's Chicken McNuggets come in only a handful of repeating shapes. But I bet you never thought the folks at the Golden Arches actually had specific names for each of the four types of McNuggets. There's some folks going, I didn't even realize there were specific shapes for McNuggets. Yes, those four shapes are called the boot, the one that looks like a boot, the ball, which is the circular one, bell, not for me, but for the one that is kind of shaped like a teardrop shape and could resemble the silhouette of a bell, and bone, the one with the least defined shape. It looks kind of like a boot with the toe cut off. Apparently, in Canada, the bone is actually called the bow tie. And it's wacky, but it's true, going from the man with the fish hook to a man who coughed up a twig. In the UK, someone coughed up a piece of a twig that had been stuck in his lung for years. The man sucked in the inch-long stick during some rough play with friends when he was a teenager, and it lodged in his left lung. He was taken to the hospital, but an x-ray failed to find anything wrong. 3 weeks later, he caught pneumonia, and since then he had been plagued by breathing difficulties and chest infections. At age 34, the man got relief when he banged himself on the chest, and when he awoke coughing during the night and the twig popped out. Just for fun this week, I'm Freddie Bell.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
I grew up in the me generation. I don't know about you, but a lot of focus on me. Almost to the point of considering myself 100% created by James. We laugh, but if we look at how we think about ourselves, we may forget not only our family line, the society we live in, this earth, this solar system, the entire universe, and things we don't even know about. Steiner said, you must be grateful for that. You must recognize it. The seventh requirement is that we always understand life as these condition, the previous six, demand so that we have the stamp of unity on our life. Essentially, what he was saying is our life becomes coherent when we observe those first six principles. We aren't one person at work, another person at home, another person when we go into the voting booth, another person at Unity South. Our whole life takes on a stamp of unity or wholeness or completeness. So just to summarize, these three incredible human beings, spiritual creations that we have looked at this month. Dr. King, his dream of the wholeness of the human family. That one day we would recognize that to such an extent that social injustice, violence in our communities would cease to exist because we would know each other as parts of a whole. And usually we don't go around hitting our toe with a hammer or breaking our hand or doing something harmful to what we consider as self. What if we saw the whole human family as oneself? Charles Fillmore, leading and creating and supporting an organization to help people awaken. As Myrtle said, I am a child of God. And Charles, we are co-creators with God, the individual working the infinite together. And then Dr. Steiner, as I only gave you a taste, essentially, my experience as his work and why it expressed in education, architecture, medicine. Oh, I didn't mention organic farming, known as biodynamic farming, the largest organic movement in the world. Even places here in Minnesota practice his principles of biodynamic farming. But all of those products came about because of his essential idea of how we prepare ourselves individually and as a community and a world for the source of all to work through us. So I invite you to join me in a time of quiet reflection. I'm going to use a verse I've used before. There's a prayer card in the rotunda. If you like it, you can pick one up. In the 19th century, it was translated from Sanskrit and thought to be thousands of years old. Dr. Steiner used it in his teaching, recommending it to every student to begin every day focusing on this verse. He called it a simple practice that awakens your I am, your highest truth. Spirit of you. So I invite you to close your eyes and allow these short lines to live in you. More radiant than the sun in its noontime glory, a radiance of spirit that permeates every aspect my life. Purer than the untouched snow on the mountain peak, a purity of spirit that no circumstance in the world or my life can destroy. More subtle than the essence of material matter, a subtlety of spirit that no physical activity or fact can control. this radiance, this purity, this subtlety is the self, the I am, the spirit within my heart. In the highest truth, I am that self. That self am I. Infinite Spirit, we give thanks for your radiance, your glow of light within us, within each other, and all yet to be created. I invite you, as you gradually allow your attention to take that amazing journey from your inner life back through your physical senses into this outer life we share. And in this transition, to always say, thank you, God, that you created us, you sustain us, and you have made us to be creative agents of good for our church, our community, and our world. Thanks be to God, the source of all. Amen.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. And here are today's words to the wise. It pays to keep the lines of communication open. Today's words to the wise. It pays to keep the lines of communication open. To learn more, visit my website, freddiebell.com. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.